brings us a message today. I know he will need and appreciate an interest in your prayers and also your very careful attention, Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. A week ago Thursday, for Father's Day, Kathy took me to see the Smothers Brothers at the Avalon. And when they first came out, Tommy Smothers had this big story about how beautiful the valley was from a small airplane. He says, we flew into Denver and I rented a small airplane, and I've been a pilot for 28 years. And he said, it's so pretty to fly over the mountains and to see the junction of the rivers. And Dickie interrupted him and said, Tommy, why do you lie to people like that? He said, what are you talking about? He said, you're not a pilot and you didn't rent an airplane. He said, the only time you've been on an airplane is as a passenger. He kind of looks around and says, no, I'm a pilot. Dick said, well, just flying on an airplane for many years doesn't make you a pilot. You don't just graduate. He says, you don't? And he says, no, well, can't you tell the truth? He said, well, I did tell the truth. He said, you don't even know what the truth is. He said, yes, I do. He said, what is the truth, Tommy? Tommy said, it's whatever you can make the people believe. Unfortunately, he's right, you know, in way too many cases. If you can talk like it's the truth, make people believe it, why, it becomes the truth to them. And that's just the way Satan would like it. When we talk about the things that life has in store for us and what we should believe, we know that there's some things in life that are true, and that's that we have life and that we will have death and we have taxes. Those are three things that are most definite in our lives. One of the things that came to my mind is, do we believe there is a God? It's amazing how many people you talk to don't. You say, nope. Religion is just a crutch that people use to lean on. There is no God, and what you get out of this life is just as much as you can take. We heard during reunion the first chapter of Genesis, and I want to review that just a little bit, read the first 18 verses. Because there's something in here that I want to bring out. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was of itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament, of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the news, we've been hearing about the Voyager that landed on Mars, and the big thing the other day was, oh, they've discovered, they think, what was water. Well, during the Big Bang, which actually was when God separated things, doesn't it make sense that there would be a little water? A little remnant on the stars and the bodies in heaven that he created? So it wouldn't be all that surprising if there was some remnant of what had been. But does that mean that we have little green men that used to live there? I don't think so. These scientists think that if they find water, they find life. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? Because if there was all this big body of water that Christ separated, put the heavens and the earth and the stars in between it, then he created the life that he put on earth. And there wasn't life in other places that we are told about. Now, we can't imagine being around forever, which God has been. So whether or not God has made other life isn't for us to say. But we know that he has his angels. He has his heavenly bodies. And whatever he sees as pleasing in his sight, I'm sure that he can create it or he can destroy it. In the book of Messiah, on page 218, we read in verse 119, "For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever." So if you take someone who's just born into life and they're never taught the truth by nature, they are an enemy to God. Because if they're raised in the world, then we have one that is the prince of this world that will have influence on them if they don't have any interest in what is true. But we know that there was a Son of God, and that he was there from the creation. Do you think that people believe that Christ was the Son of God? Did the ones that crucified him believe he was the Son of God? Not even when they were right there with him, did they? They said, if you're the Son of God, then save yourself. But that wasn't the plan that God had. Christ was willing to do whatever it took to complete that plan that God had. I'm going to go to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's a fact. We know that Christ was here in the flesh and blood. We know the miracles that He did. We know of the example that He set for us, of the hope that He gave us, the victory over death that He gave us. But more than all these was the love that God had for us, that He would give His only begotten Son for our sakes. In verse 15 it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." But we have to believe, don't we? We can't just say, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know about God and Jesus." We have to believe. We have to commit ourselves to knowing that this is the truth, and that it's by the commandments that Christ gave us to do the will of God, just as Christ did. I'm going to go back to the second book of Nephi, page 85. If you ask people if they believe there's a God, do you believe there is Christ? You might ask them, do you believe in Satan? And more of them today will say, yeah, there's Satan. I've used his power. I've used his cunning. And they believe in him. I'm going to read verses 101 through 103 on page 85. "And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind." So he's very busy right now, because he'd like to get each one of us to confess that he is, and that he is powerful, and that we'll bow to him. And he is powerful. If you've ever had to come up against him, you find out how powerful he is. And you find out how defenseless you are unless you believe in God and in his Son. Because it's only in the name of God that you can defeat Satan. Over in Luke chapter 10, we can read about the same thing. Verse And these were the words of Christ. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read 17 through 20. And this was when Christ had sent out 70 disciples, two by two, to go among the people and to do a mighty work among them. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. These disciples had the Spirit with them, that Holy Spirit that protected them, that helped them to cast out Satan, that helped them to do the work that Christ had sent them to do. And it's only through that Spirit that they were able to do those things. And if you remember the disciples that came to Christ and said, there is one with an evil spirit, we can't cast it out. And Christ went and he cast it out. And they said, well, how come we couldn't do that? And Christ told them, it's only through much fasting and prayer that you're able to do this. And so that's a pretty good lesson to us, that we can't just call on God and automatically make it happen. There has to be a little effort. There has to be a little sacrifice. Now, Satan has many names. He's called the devil. He's called Abaddon, tempter, prince of the world, red dragon, wicked one, unclean spirit. Goes by many names. But just because he goes by many names doesn't make him any less powerful. One of the things that we believe in is life, because we're all alive. So if we believe in life, then perhaps we should take an interest in it and see what it's about. Why was I given life? What's going to happen to me during this life? We can come up with a lot of questions. Questions like, how long am I going to live? The insurance company will tell you. That's why they insure you, because they know the average. They know just about how long you're going to live. There's exceptions to the rule, but they've got a pretty good idea. I want to turn to the book of Alma, chapter 9, page 346. Verse 41. Therefore this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. So we have a short period of time here in which we can prepare for the rest of time. Prepare our bodies and our souls for that endless state, to see what our reward will be. Hopefully, it'll be eternal life in the kingdom of God. But if we don't know the truth and aren't diligent to the things that Christ gave to us, and we can find we come up short. In 2 Nephi chapter 6, I didn't write down a page number, so got to look it up. It's going to be on page 110. It's the 81st and 82nd verses of the 6th chapter, 2 Nephi. It says, "Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel. And he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name." Now I thought that when you reached the pearly gates, that St. Peter was the one you were going to see. Isn't that what everybody would lead you to believe? That St. Peter's the keeper of the gate? Not according to the word of truth. It says that the Lord God is his name, and he employs no servants there. Well, what is this gate? Maybe we better look into that a little bit farther. And that's on page 162. In the 13th chapter, second book of Nephi. I'm going to read verses 19 through 25. "And I heard a voice from the Father saying, Yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire, and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive." Well, that puts a whole new perspective on it, doesn't it? That means that you can enter into this gate as soon as you find out the truth and you enter into the waters of baptism. And you have a remission of your sins because of your repentance. Then you've entered into the gate. You're on your way, a part of this life, and you're already beyond the pearly gates. Now, how about that? Would people want you to believe that? Or do they want you to believe that the pearly gates are something that's going to happen after you die? It's a little bit late after you die to be baptized, isn't it? Little bit late to enter into the gate. So we have some choices. The Lord gave us hope. He gave us freedom to choose who we would serve. So is truth what someone can make us believe? Or is truth what we know as fact? Because if we study the scriptures and find the things which the Lord told the people to write them down. Write them down so that this generation and generations that follow will have my word. And we have it contained right here in these books. And we can make choices according to that word. We can know what is truth and what is something that people would just have us believe. For myself, I would choose to know the truth and to live my life as close to the truth as I can get. And the love that God has for us, He had for us first. And it's up to us to return that love and to thank Him for the life that we've been given and the opportunity and the chance to prove ourselves worthy during this life, to follow after the example of God's Son. If we choose not to serve Him and not to go to church, not to learn of His Word, but just continue in our blindness and believe whatever people tells us, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. If you believe in Christ, then He died for our sins and everybody's saved. It's not a problem. Go and enjoy your life. Because in the end, we're all going the same place. We'll all be saved. We'd kind of like that to be the truth, wouldn't we? But it's not that easy. Not when you study the words of truth, which the Lord gave us. So we need to study. We need to have fellowship with those that are of like faith. And when we do come to the end of this life, we'll be taken into that kingdom, and without a doubt, we'll return to the one that created us. And hopefully He'll smile on us, and He'll greet us and say, "Job well done." Thank you.